Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
Another day, another podcast, and another exciting look into the Word of God. And that's exactly what it is. You know, the Word of God is exciting. People that say to me, I just can't read the Bible. I think it's so boring. I always say to them, you know, you're not, you know, are you reading the Bible?
Have you read it?
Have you read it? Because it is, I mean, you talk about drama and intrigue. You know, and I know, Hannah, you don't like to watch movies with me because
I wonder why.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, because I'm the guy that's always like, this is dumb. You
know, predicting the movie in the first 5 minutes.
Exactly. But to me, it bugs me because it seems like every major movie that comes out, you know, they can't be original. Like all the great themes are taken from the Bible. You know, the world is going to be destroyed. You know, the world's coming to an end, but a hero comes on the scene, a savior that's going to rescue the world. And you know, I don't care if it's Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or whatever. It's the theme of the Bible. People are people down deep know that they need rescued. They need for God to do the work that they cannot do. And we find that, you know, throughout the Bible, but especially have we been finding that in the book of Joshua, as Joshua leads the people into this land that had been promised to them years and years before, and God keeps his promises. So, you know, last podcast, we talked about the very famous Battle of Jericho. The walls came tumbling down, and they marched around the city one time a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched seven times. They blew the trumpet, they shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. And that's where I want to pick up today. The Bible says in Joshua 6:16, it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, and we know this part, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. So we already talked about that. So here's that shout and that victory. But then it says, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. So God's going to view this city as an accursed place. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house. Remember that? You know, God had told her, or rather she had made the deal, and the spies had told her, you get everybody you can into your room, into your apartment, put that red scarlet cord outside. We're going to know. Well, he's referencing that. Because she had hid the messengers that we sent. But here's what I really want our listeners to hear, verse 18. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. In other words, make sure that if you don't do anything else, you don't take anything from the city. The city belongs to me. The stuff belongs to me. All of it. Lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it.
Must be pretty serious if God is emphasizing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he said over and over, and he's saying, listen, this is going to be really, really bad for you. And it's interesting what he said too, because he said, if any of you do this, then I'm going to hold you corporately responsible as if you all did this. You know, the importance of individual obedience within a church or within a family or within any group for that matter. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. That means set apart entirely for him, made sacred by being God's. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And so you look at that, Hannah, and you wonder, What this is the first city that they're facing. No, why would God have told them, hey, you're going to the promised land. I've prepared this for you. They get to the first city and God says, no, I want everything for me.
Prioritizing God, making sure you put God first in every area, every aspect of your life. It's just, I think it was just a reminder to them, you know, hey, I led you through the wilderness. Hey, I've done this and this and this for you. I've brought you victory. I've done all these things for you. And, you know, he wanted to make sure that they were giving him the glory for it, making sure they recognize that.
No, that's good.
They don't forget.
No, that's good. You know, the principle of putting God first. Yeah. So, you know, God owns everything. We know that, you know, and everything that we have belongs to him anyway. But at strategic times, God says, okay, but I want you to give me some stuff back. Not that God needs stuff. You know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, we'll say. It's not that God needs what we give him, but we need to, it's in giving that we're recognizing. It's a physical act whereby we recognize that God owns it all and we owe all to him. Mm-hmm. So whether that's giving him the first part of our day, which I think is important, or the first part of our week, Sunday is the beginning of the week, or the first part of our finances. You know, your mom and I, Hannah, from the time we were first married, just decided that we would always give God the first fruits of our increase. You know, we would tithe. And that was a difficult thing back in those early days when we just didn't have two nickels to rub together. But, you know, God blesses that. And truth be told, it all belongs to him anyway, but we just wanted to honor him. And I love your thought about Jericho was the first city that they're encountering.
Right.
And by giving it all to him there, it really was a symbol that, listen, all of the promised land and everything we'll get comes from you. And we want to make that message now.
Yeah. And I like what you said about how God doesn't need the stuff. And it's really for us to put him first. And just like, you know, in the Bible, so many times he asks rhetorical questions. You know, mm-hmm. Well, obviously he knows the answer. He's not asking for himself. He's asking to provoke us to think about, okay,
he's not asking because he doesn't know.
Exactly.
He's asking because we don't know.
So often, yeah, he does that throughout your life. Okay, you can almost like, you know, hear the Lord saying, okay, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing this for me? You know, yeah, I just really enjoyed that thought. You know, he does it for our sake, not his.
So the people shouted so now we're seeing how the people respond to what Joshua said. The people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. That is amazing. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. So they had the city surrounded. So as soon as the walls fell down, they all were able to run straight in. So it's not that they didn't have to fight. Sometimes we get this Veggie Tales picture of Jericho.
The walls fell down, that was it.
And that was it, but it wasn't it. They still had to go in and fight. And what we read is, you know, they won a great victory. So God does his part for sure, but that does not exempt us from doing our part. So they go in and they literally destroy the city, except for Rahab and her family and those whom God promised to protect. So there's the mercy and grace of God. Even in God's judgment, you know, those that have rejected God, those that have had numerous opportunities to embrace God, and the people of Jericho could have voluntarily, you know, they had fear. They knew who God was. They knew what danger they were in. They could have sued for peace. They could have. And what do we see in the Bible when people humble themselves and come and surrender? God always has mercy. But even in the situation where these hardened people would not surrender, God still had mercy on Rahab and her family for the promise he had made. And then verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, Rahab, Bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. In other words, let's keep our promise. Let's save Rahab. And so that all happened. Everything we just talked about, that all happened. The city was destroyed. Rahab and her family were rescued. And then, and this is just such a cool verse. It's the second to the last verse in Joshua chapter 6. The Bible says, Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. So now the city is destroyed. The people are gone. There's just a vestige that remains, ruins and rubble. And yet Joshua says, I'm pronouncing a curse on anyone that tries to build what God has teared down. And he says specifically, and this is what's so amazing about the Bible, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. And then he predicts that someone will do it. He says, he shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So somebody's going to come along and is going to try to rebuild this city. And he's going to bring a curse upon him and his family. He's going to try to do it. His youngest son's going to die in the beginning of the process. The guy's going to be stubborn. He's going to keep on building. And then as the project's being completed, the youngest son's going to die. You know, God is going to keep his word because people are going to violate this prediction. Okay, so Hannah, I'm going to test you, Bible trivia. Do you know when that happened?
Like historically?
Yeah. So God, Joshua made that prediction that that would happen and specifically said, the guy that does this, he's going to lose his oldest son. He's going to lose his youngest son. He's going to violate God's prediction here. Do you know when that happened? Because we know that Jericho got rebuilt because you and I have been to Jericho.
Right.
You know, so it's not the nicest place to go.
No.
It's kind of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But there's 20,000 people that live there, and you can go eat at a nice Arabian restaurant and overlook the ruins of Jericho, and we've done that. So obviously it got rebuilt. So the prediction wasn't that Jericho would never get rebuilt. The prediction was whoever tried to do it, a curse would be upon him. Okay, I'll let you off the hook. During the days of Ahab, so that was hundreds of years later. Of course, Ahab, you know, he was a wicked man himself. The Bible says in 1 Kings 16 and verse 34 that during the days of Ahab, a guy by the name of Hiel, H-I-E-L, Hiel, I guess, did exactly what Joshua just predicted. Mm-hmm. And it names his sons. I can't remember them right now. But the oldest son, the youngest son, that this exactly what God predicted happened. So that says to me, number one, take God's word seriously. Yeah. But number two, we can put great faith and confidence in what the word of God says.
That's good. And I definitely obviously didn't know that. But
it's a footnote.
Yeah, like a footnote. And it's so easily overlooked because we look at, well, it's more in the coming chapter about the sin of Achan, but just one of those, footnotes that you just overlook and it's like, oh, didn't connect the dots.
Right, but and I like that term footnote because it's even the footnotes, you think about a term paper, it's even the footnotes that validate the body of truth in the Word of God. So the Bible says, so the Lord was with Joshua and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Not that God's into making human heroes, but remember what God told Joshua, I'm going to magnify you for my purposes. God uses people to accomplish his purposes. So you're listening today, you're on your way to work, you're sitting at your table, you're exercising, whatever you're doing, please know this, God has a purpose for your life and he uses people to bless people. And trust him today. Trust him that he has a plan for your life. His word is unfailing, and he has not failed in one of his promises yet. He's not about to begin with you. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.